For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
What's going on, everyone? It's The Hump here on Fightful. Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com. I'm definitely not Sean Ross Sapp. Certainly not as tall as him. I'm John Alba. That's Jimmy Van, the man in charge here. Jimmy, so great to chat with you, man. I love hopping on these Fightful shows, and I appreciate you having me here.
It's been a while since I've talked to you, so it's good to see you, buddy. We still have the overlay, love Springsteen more than you, which is true.
It's just factual.
So good to see you. Glad you're doing well. And yeah, you're going to do your best today to be Sean Ross Sapp, you know?
I'll embody all the good qualities. That's what we're going to try to
do. Good. Leave the bad ones at the door.
Yeah, certainly so. Heads up right off the top here, guys. No Humper Chats for this stream, but if you do have a Super Chat, you can feel free to leave that. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say, and we'll read it on air as well. All your support is greatly appreciated here on Fightful and The Hump. Jimmy, you had a pretty cool weekend. You got a chance to check out Sean Ross Sapp in person. That's, you know.
Yeah, I hadn't seen Sean in a couple of years. And he came to Toronto for Elimination Chamber, of course. I don't live in Toronto anymore. I live in a small town outside the city now. So he made the hour-long trek to come out and see me. And if you guys are into, I don't know if you're into old action figures or old toys, but anybody that is, we cut a bunch of videos about my LJN collection, about my AWA Remco collection. We also did one that was debunking Matt Cardona, that punk doing a podcast saying that Jimmy bought a naked Miss Elizabeth for $40,000. Bullshit. So we did a video debunking that and talking about what I really acquired from Matt Cardona. Mm. And so we're going to put those out soon. But so yeah, Sean was over for a few hours. We taped all kinds of stuff, and I hope people like it.
That's awesome, man. I got to be real with you. I was in Mexico during this Elimination Chamber show.
Oh,
I took my first vacation properly in 15 years.
What?
Dude, working in TV is not as luxurious as one might think.
Where in Mexico did you go?
We went to Cancun, and okay. It was crazy because, you know, I went to pull up Peacock to watch some of the show as we were getting ready. And I was like, oh, crap, it's not going to work because I'm in Mexico. And I had to, because Peacock's not available.
Netflix.
And so I let my Netflix subscription lapse, but thankfully, Jimmy, I had NordVPN to help me out.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
All right, my friend.
That was smooth.
Thank you.
John Alba, that was smooth.
You know, not for nothing, but just saying. Okay. Anyway.
Don't you have more than one of those?
Well, there's the big controversy of 2021, of course, down at the Florida Suncoast Emmys. So I don't want to get into that here. Guys, please leave us your super chats because we got a lot to get into here. Jimmy, I believe there's something I'm supposed to ask you. I've heard it somewhere in the realm. What do you want to talk about?
That's cute. Well, I want to do my shameless plug of the week before we get started. And I don't even know if you're aware of this. I have a new book out. It's a self-help book called The Storytelling Salesman right there. It's available online anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Indigo, Barnes & Noble. It offers tips for anyone looking to improve their situation at their job or managing people or running a business. You can also get it from the Fightful Shop, shop.fightful.com, and from the book's official website, storysalesman.com. You can get personalized copies too. So check that out. I'm going to be embarking on a podcast tour soon. And love so it. We'll see how that goes.
Love it. Good luck with all that. That's awesome.
Thanks, bud. Thanks. So I like whenever something comes up that's serious, I like to tackle that first before we get to like the big topic of the week. So Cora Jade, I want to send well wishes to Cora Jade. If you missed NXT, she suffered what it turned out to be a head injury during the match with Jordan Grace. They thought it was a knee injury at first. I guess it was a head injury. She posted on Twitter. She said, got rocked for a sec, but my knees are all good. Thanks for the concern. So speedy recovery to her.
Certainly so. And it's crazy because with how loaded that NXT women's division is, you got to know. I mean, this is just the nature of the beast, right? When it's so packed with so much talent, people are going to be worried that if they miss a couple weeks of TV, that they could fall behind someone else. And she missed a lot of time due to that knee injury. So best wishes to her on her recovery. Hopefully this isn't something that keeps her out too long. And I'm glad that we take these head injuries a lot more seriously in wrestling these days, because certainly we need to be aware of that stuff.
Yeah, and she's definitely benefiting from the TNA partnership.
I mean, she's
right, working TNA, working NXT at the same time. And I know like the NXT women's division is so stacked. It's more stacked than the main roster, I think.
Crazy.
And so, yeah, they got a good group there, and Jordan Grace, a good addition to it. I guess we should talk the heel turn, John. I guess we should.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. So I got to tell you this. 2 weeks ago, The Rock cut that promo on SmackDown, right? Where he said to Cody Rhodes, I want your soul. I thought, in my opinion, that was one of the worst promos of The Rock's career. I thought that he was all over the place. You know, people used to joke that The Big Show, how many times he turned heel and babyface? Rock turned heel and babyface 6 times in one promo. Like, I thought it was awful. I thought that the build to WrestleMania at that point was pretty lackluster. Elimination Chamber changed everything. And going in, I think it was pretty widely expected that Cena was going to win the Elimination Chamber and get the match with Cody at WrestleMania. I did not ever on my bingo card have John Cena turning heel in his farewell year, on his farewell run. Did not see that happening. And after all these years of people wanting it and wanting it and wanting it, now we got it. What were your thoughts on it? Definitely an all-time moment right up there with Hogan in the NWO. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so I have, and I've talked about this on Fightful here before too, I've got my own wrestling Patreon, WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com, and we do a preview show for all the premium live events, and I had my group of people in there, and we're chatting, and I said, you know, I think Cena's going to win this thing, but what is the biggest possible thing they could do coming out of this? And I came upon two possible options. Number one was Punk winning and Punk being the one to go corporate to sell his soul to The Rock, because that's the antithesis of everything that CM Punk built his foundation.
And there's a lot of speculation about that too. Mm-hmm.
But I said, the biggest thing they could do would be John Cena, who's gone full Hollywood now.
Right.
Who's the corporate spokesperson you see on every commercial now. You saw him on Super Bowl Sunday 5 times. Him being the one to sell his soul would be the biggest possible thing they could do. But what are the odds that they'd actually do it?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Jimmy, when Cody came out to confront him after he won, and then The Rock's music hit him, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Cena's going to be in the ring for all this stuff.
Right.
And that was one of the first big cues. But for me, and I'm curious what you think about this, the first true cue to me that this could happen. Let's go back to 2011 when John Cena faces CM Punk at Money in the Bank 2011. All-time great WWE match, right? CM Punk is locked in the STF and Cena's trying to tap him out. John Laurinaitis and Vince McMahon come down to the ring. They go to ring the bell. Cena gets out of the STF and pops John Laurinaitis. That allows Punk to win. He did not accept help on the STF to beat CM Punk. Mm-hmm. In 25, he gets help from Seth Rollins and he gladly puts the STF on, happily taking the easy way out. And when that happened, I said, huh, this cheese ball. this goof gladly took the help. And that's everything that is the antithesis of John Cena. And man, what just even if you saw it coming, just a breathtaking segment, Jimmy.
You're getting deep. You're getting deep on me, John.
I'm a storyteller, bro. And like everyone likes to say, this is cinema. This is cinema. This is long-term storytelling. I would hope that some of these character motivations are considered when they're laying these things out, because that builds a good foundation for storytelling.
Yeah. I mean, hindsight being 2020 now, you can go back and look at so many things. And I would love to know, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Sean too much about anything that he's heard, but I would love to know how far back this was planned out. Mm-hmm. So like if you start with Rock's proposal to Cody, I, for one, like I said, I thought his promo sucked. Rock's promo sucked. And I thought that the storyline, the idea sucked.
It was all over the place.
Well, not just that, but if you think back to when the corporation was originally created, because people are saying, oh, this is like the reincarnation of the corporation. Think back to when they were originally created. It was because Stone Cold Steve Austin was the champion and Vince McMahon wanted him to wear suits. Yep. He wanted him to smile more.
And that's what Cody does.
Right. Right. And then when you think about when The Rock at the 98 Survivor Series turned heel, won the title in the tournament, joined the corporation. Well, what was in it for The Rock? He won the title. Cody already has the title, and he's already the model champion. He doesn't drink beer in the ring. He doesn't use the middle finger. Granted, he did use the F word at Elimination Chamber, but normally he doesn't do any of that. And so storyline-wise, I thought, this makes no sense. Like, I just thought it makes no sense. But when you think of John Cena in that spot, it makes perfect sense. Because, number one, Cena in the Royal Rumble post-show scrum, he said he wants to win the title for the 17th time. And obviously going with Rock and, you know, Rock being the director of the board, as they say, is going to help him in theory do that. And then secondly, Cena's already, like you said, he's a full-timer in Hollywood. He's already doing well, if we're being honest. I mean, I saw him on the Forbes list. But in theory, Rock's more established and could help him in that regard. So it made perfect sense to me. And I'm glad that they went in this direction. How long do you think this was planned? Because The Rock now wants you to believe, oh, you know, bad blood. I held up three fingers. Everybody's like, why am I there? Why am I there? I held up three fingers. Elimination Chamber, I held up two. I don't know if I believe that back at Bad Blood, they knew this is going to end with a Cena heel turn. I think this is The Rock being The Rock. But what do you think? How long do you think this was in the works?
I say fairly confidently, Jimmy, that this was not in the works at Bad Blood. I think what they did do at Bad Blood was they tried to drop a breadcrumb, to certainly not that, a breadcrumb. Oh, man, that's another
show. And we're going to get censored on YouTube. Yeah,
that's another show. My apologies. They tried to drop that so that they could pick that up at a later date and figure out how to build off of that. And that's what a lot of these storytelling avenues do. Movies do this, TV shows do this. They drop something that they can revisit if they want to. I believe this came together sometime between the Royal Rumble and the SmackDown segment. I think that's when it was probably, okay, let's own in and let's figure out what type of twist do we want to add to this John Cena Cody Rhodes thing. Because I don't know about you, John Cena versus Cody Rhodes on the surface level was a cool match.
Yeah.
But without the intrigue of something else or some true motivation, I don't think it had quite the pizzazz that a lot of people were hoping for, given how Cena really hasn't been super involved with WWE over the past few years. But now you add this wrinkle in, and I think it's more than what you even described. I think this is about John Cena, the character, is so desperate to win number 17. He wants to go down as the greatest of all time that he is willing to align with anyone to sell his soul to ensure that he does it. That's why he took the help from Seth Rollins, because he's willing to do everything he can to make sure he goes down as the GOAT. And I think that's what we will find out will be the motivation from John. And they have the parallels. They have the history, he and The Rock. It makes a lot of sense to me. Now, we got the super chat from Jay Polanco, and I encourage you guys, leave your super chats. He says, the heel turn was a good surprise, but can we relax saying it was the biggest of all time? Maybe if Cena was an active wrestler. I don't know, man. I mean, dude, not only is he, I mean, he's a wrestler, but like, he's an all-time great, and this is the last year of his career. He could have cruised to the finish line, Jimmy, and he chose to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely up there. I mean, the guy was the top babyface, the quote-unquote white meat babyface of the company for years and years and years. People would tease, you know, I would love to see a heel turn to the point.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it's common. But we are going to provide you with that solution via Hims.com/Fightful. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that all work from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little to 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor's visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment was sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Fightful. That's Hims.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
Did you remember Cena cut the promo one time on Raw and he twisted his heel on the canvas and said, maybe I need a little heel
maybe
turn.
I need the heel turn,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it's something that, and he even with the Bray Wyatt match, quote unquote, they even did the NWO Cena just so people could see the Cena heel turn. So it was definitely up there. But I do want to say this though. I saw online say that this turn was more popular and penetrated the mainstream more than the Hulk Hogan turn. And to me, technically they're not wrong. And I don't want to take away from the magnitude of the Cena turn, but it's apples and oranges. Wrestling is way more embraced by the mainstream now than it was in 96. It's not even close.
Yeah.
If you look at the repercussions of the Hulk Hogan turn and what it did for the wrestling business, I don't think the Cena turn is going to have that level of impact. When you look at WWE business, I think when all is said and done, the Roman Reigns bloodline story will have done more for the business aspect of WWE than the John Cena heel turn will, I think. But it's still one of the greatest ever. It's saving WrestleMania because the WrestleMania build have been pretty lackluster. No disrespect to Jey Uso, Gunther, I just don't look at Jey Uso as a WrestleMania world title challenger. I just don't. Cena, Cody with the heel Cena, they've just kind of flipped it. And if you saw the clip from Chris's interview with Cena from last year, Chris Van Vliet, and Cena acknowledged in 2012, I was going to do a heel turn and we were going to go all in. And he said that he had singlets made. So he was going to actually wrestle in ring gear. He had singlets made. He dusted off the wrestling boots. He had boxing robes made. He redid his music. To do a heel music. He told Vince McMahon, no more Make-A-Wish, no more personal appearances. And I think Vince McMahon decided, okay, maybe not. And they didn't do it. Do you think they're going to go in that direction? Or do you think he's going to have like black jean shorts, black t-shirts, black ball caps?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be what was planned for 2012. You know, that was a very different John Cena. back then. But I definitely think leaning into the Hollywood element, you know, wearing suits, John Cena loves wearing suits. We know that. Yeah. I think that's fair and that's totally game. You know, I want to bring this point up, Jimmy. What a testament to Cody Rhodes this is, that both The Rock and John Cena turned heel just to face him. Because Cody, I wrote an op-ed for you guys, and I called Cody Rhodes. This was shortly after WrestleMania 39 when he lost. I was like, he's the closest thing they have to John Cena. And I got so many people on the internet, like, what are you talking? He's nowhere close. Cody Rhodes is one of the most influential baby faces in pro wrestling history. And he was able to become the catalyst for two of the biggest stars ever to turn heel when they probably weren't planned to. And ultimately, Jimmy, I believe this move is done to further enhance Cody, whether it's at WrestleMania or down the line before the year's over and John Cena retires. I think Cody Rhodes is the one who ultimately comes out on top of all of this. And John Cena is the vehicle for this to happen. Plus, if Cena does win at WrestleMania, there are a lot of really intriguing feuds for him to visit a heel against a babyface CM Punk, a babyface Seth Rollins, maybe a babyface
Randy Orton,
Roman Reigns,
AJ Styles. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Do you think years from now, Cody's going to be cutting promos bragging about that the way Jericho did when he beat Rock and Austin the same night?
I mean, it's something that he's going to have in his cap that he shifted the gears in a significant way. And man, again, John Cena didn't have to do this. This was not something Cena could have rode on his coattails and shown up, hustle, loyalty, respect, and retired, and everyone would have been fine with it.
Yeah.
But Cody went out of his way, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Drop a super chat for us. No Humper Chats today, but drop a super chat for us, because this is a very, very interesting, intriguing swerve here, Jimmy, that is going to have massive ramification. You know what I loved on Raw? I loved that other wrestlers were asked about the impact of John Cena turning heel, and they were addressing it. CM Punk addressing it. Other wrestlers. R-Truth is in shambles about it.
They have to have a match.
That's really good storytelling.
Yeah, yeah.
Down the card, that say this event was a Nexus event for everyone on our roster.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it got picked up everywhere. It was covered everywhere. John Stewart even used it in a joke about Trump. So, like, it's been everywhere. Now, I do think that we should talk about Travis Scott. And I got to tell you, like, with all due respect to him, I'm not a fan. I don't know his music. If I saw him on the street, I wouldn't give two shits about it. But I understand why they did it. Storyline wise, he was completely out of place. He did not belong in the ring with The Rock and John Cena. He had nothing to do with either one of them. We saw him with Jey Uso as a babyface on Raw when they went to Netflix. He was completely out of place. I get why they did it. Right? WWE knew that this was going to be a big moment. They wanted to get picked up everywhere. Travis Scott caters to a certain demographic that they covet. I get it. That unprotected shot that he threw to Cody.
Rocked
now, him. Yeah. Now there were reports that he busted his eardrum. Cody busted his eardrum. I don't know if that's true. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how you let that happen. I saw some people online saying, well, maybe Cody called an audible and told Travis to hit him. But how do you not prepare him for this? Do you want your champion injured a month before the biggest show of the year? And I joked on Twitter and I said, can you imagine if Travis Scott had hit Brock Lesnar like that?
Yeah.
Brock would have propelled him to the fifth row.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts on the decision to add Travis Scott to this? Again, business-wise, I get it. Storyline-wise, he just has nothing to do with these guys. What'd you think?
Yeah, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was Sean who reported that he's been at the PC and they've discussed the possibility of involving him in a match, and he's done a little bit of training. So
right.
I guess it's not totally out of left field when you have that context, but in the moment, it certainly felt very weird that one of the biggest moments in modern wrestling history had Travis Scott just chilling in the background and then physically getting involved. I think if you're going to utilize him, Jimmy, you need to lean into that now where he's part of the posse. You know, he's part of The Rock's posse. If John Cena gets a new theme song, Travis Scott should be involved in that new theme song.
Which makes sense. Yeah.
Let's include him in the presentation of all of this. If this is WWE's version of Ballers, then this is how you have to group these guys together. And maybe that's the path that they end up going with this. It's going to be a really, really fascinating way to see if he's included going forward, because if he's not included going forward, then it really feels like it was just reaching for the moment and nothing beyond that. And I hope that's not the case. We did get a super chat here. I want to read from Josh. Thank you for this, Josh. This afternoon, gents. John, thanks for filling in for SRS. You got it. Said they turned Cena heel for Cody. This was the passing of the torch. 100% blessed Ash Wednesday all. What do you think of that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Cody's definitely the benefactor of it. I think they also did it because they wanted to get that mainstream press for Mania going in. That was, I think Cody, it helping Cody, I think is more a byproduct than the intention, I think.
Do you? Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. See, yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think those things are mutually exclusive necessarily. Mm. Like, I think, yes, it's clearly to help WrestleMania marketing. No questions asked about that. But also, let's play a little hypothetical here. Let's say Cody beats Cena at WrestleMania. Obviously, that's a huge rub for him right off the bat. I prefer they play the long game on it. I'd like to see John Cena win this title as a heel. I'd like to see Cody become desolate over losing this championship, having to climb his way back. Maybe he has to win Money in the Bank or something akin to that. And then his mission becomes not just to win the title back, but also to remind John Cena, this all-time great good guy, of who he is at his heart, and that he didn't need to resolve to teaming with The Rock and siding with him. And then in Cena's last match or towards the end of his run, Cody beats him and he learns his lesson. You're right. I didn't need to do that. I still am the good guy deep down. And that benefits both of them. I think that is a way to enhance Cody in the long run as a top babyface.
Do you think that, because obviously when the year is over, Cena's going out as a good guy. Do you think that they're going to do the Rock Hogan-like thing, where Cena goes into his last match, maybe with Cody as a heel, and then the crowd kind of gets with him at the end? Or do you think he's going to turn babyface before?
I'm so glad you brought this up because I've been saying this for like months now, if they're going to do this match. Cody has gone on the record and said that Rock Cena is, Hogan Rock is his favorite match of all time.
Right.
So I fully expect the match to almost mimic Rock Hogan in how it's laid out, and I would not be surprised if that is exactly what they lean into. And maybe that's a story to play off of too, that Cody let this all get the best of him, and that's a reason for him potentially losing here. We got even more super chats here from Swaran. Do you think there would be a double turn with either corporate Punk and Rollins, or anyone with Cena, knowing Cena would turn back face again to end his tour? There's a lot of people, Jimmy, who think that there might be more pieces to this.
Yeah, I've seen some reports about how there's going to be more twists and turns, and you know, we're going to get to some more stuff later that's happened, like Jade Cargill and whatnot. So you never know. I mean, you know, Punk is a great heel. There's no question about it. Rollins has been doing the same thing for a while. Maybe a heel turns in his future. Maybe Roman's the babyface, Rollins is the heel in a storyline. There's a lot of different things they could do. What do you think they need to do? Let's say that it's December right now, and you got Cena and you got Cody. What do you think they need to do to ensure Cena gets the babyface reaction in the match? Or do you think at WrestleMania, Cena might already get the babyface reaction in the match? Because I don't think so. Not with Rock.
No, I think he's going to get booed, but there's going to be a lot of people who are really excited about heel John Cena winning the title potentially. So you might get cheers just off of virtue of that. But I do think Cena will get booed if he allows himself to lean into this. Like, John Cena has to go all in on this right now. And I think he will. Cena is that type of committer to the projects that he does. And I think he will go all in on this. He has to learn to, Matt Hardy says this all the time on our podcast, he has to relinquish his fear of being an asshole. And that's what he's going to do in order to carry this character throughout the course of the summer. You know,
what he has to do is he has to tell himself, pretend that Cody tried to make me dinner at home instead of going out.
I was gonna say, lean into being total divas John Cena and you'll be
just tell myself I'm mad at him because the bastard left a wine ring on my countertop.
I mean, listen, I do think that he needs to be a babyface before his final match. Like, I don't think he's going to get booed in his last match. It's just not going to happen.
If they know it is, then yeah.
Right. So, and I think he's wrapping his career in Boston. I think that's the plan, right?
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think his last date has been rumored as like December 14th in Boston or something like that. So,
right.
There's no way he's getting booed in that if that's the path they go. So, I do suspect he would turn at that point. I want to get to a couple more super chats regarding this here, Jimmy. Amir saying, do you expect The Rock on the European tour? Maybe on the TV shows in Europe. I don't think that's impossible.
I mean, there still hasn't been any confirmation he's going to do WrestleMania.
True.
So, absolutely. You know, I kind of wish that at the post-show scrum at Elimination Chamber, somebody of that should have asked him, are you scheduled for WrestleMania? Because until we know that, I mean, it's hard to say. But like you said, yeah, is Rock doing a full tour? No. Might he maybe appear on a PLE? Maybe.
Yeah. And then Dave, what's up, Dave? Says, I believe now that Cody has officially joined the exclusive, you can't tell the story of pro wrestling without specifically baby faces only, Hogan, Austin, Cena, Rhodes. What say you guys? This is a big argument, Jimmy, with like Hall of Fame conversations with sports. Can you tell the story of baseball without Barry Bonds? You know, can you tell the story of pro wrestling without Cody Rhodes? And honestly, when you take in the entire context of his career with leaving WWE, being the son of Dusty Rhodes, starting AEW, being one of the biggest forces behind then, and then taking down Roman Reigns, forcing The Rock to turn heel, forcing Cena to turn heel, and being the undisputed top guy, I think you have to say that he's in that conversation.
For sure. His run the last 3 years has been incredible. I was saying this to Sean the last time we did this podcast. The match with Roman last year, that finish, will go down as an all-time great finish. And I feel like, and tell me if you agree with me, I feel like all-time moments today don't happen a lot. And maybe it's because there's just so much content now. There's so many wrestling shows. There's so many matches. Like, now I'm not going to disrespect to say someone like Will Ospreay, as great as he is in the ring. 20 years from now, are people going to remember most of his matches? Probably not. 20 years from now, are they going to remember, you know, Cody pinning Roman at WrestleMania? Probably. Are they going to remember Cena doing that heel turn? Probably. It just feels like we don't get as many moments now, but the Cody Roman one was one. The Cena heel turn was one. And like you said, when you add Cody, what he did for AEW, and then the whole story, finish your story, all of that, I think for sure his name's got to be mentioned.
There's going to be people who their first transformative pro wrestling moment as a kid was seeing Cody beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And that's going to go down as their Hogan defeating the Iron Sheik moment. You know, it's just how it's going to be. So I totally agree with you on that. I think the reason we don't get so many of these all-time great moments, Jimmy, is because in the last 10 years, there hasn't been a lot of patience for long-term playing and long-term storytelling and wrestling. And, you know, I don't love WWE's week-to-week booking necessarily, but one thing that I think has drastically improved under Paul Levesque is the attention to long-term storytelling and paying stuff off that you set up months and months before that, if not longer than that. So I do think that there is some merit to that. And look, you can place your bets as to where you think Cody Rhodes is going to end up as an all-time great. I certainly think that it could be one of the all-time WWE superheroes of all time. He might be even bigger than that, but there are other places that you can place your bets as well.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
5 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of. All major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. Betonline.ag, That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
A couple more super chats before we move on here real quick, Jimmy. Josh, if Cena beats Cody, Truth needs to beat Cena. I don't know about that.
Don't think so. But they have to do the match.
Yeah.
Well, they have to.
Sauron saying, can't wait for Truth trying to break heel Cena.
Yep, that should be amazing. Here's a question for you. Now that Cena's heel, you think Joe Hendry gets a matchup?
Dude, I've been saying for a long time, I've very much believed that a match with John Cena was possible for Joe Hendry. And where and when, I'm not sure. But I do think it's possible. Maybe if WWE was really true to its partnership with TNA, they should lease out John Cena for Slammiversary in New York City. That's my
given thought. That he's got limited dates. I don't think I would do that.
I don't expect it to happen.
But yeah, yeah. 36 dates, I think, this year.
It's just something that I think would be interesting. Any other thoughts on this? Because I got one other super chat, and then we can move forward with whatever.
No, hit the super chat, and then we'll move on.
Sure. So we got from Matthew here saying, why does WWE get away with never pushing black male single stars, and they don't even acknowledge Black History Month? Where's the criticism for them? Jimmy, I saw a lot of criticism online about this topic over the month of February that WWE didn't recognize this. And this has been a talking point among people. I don't know the answer to that, but did you make anything of them not promoting it this year?
No, I don't want to speak for Paul Levesque.
Right. Exactly.
On that one. Exactly. And I mean, I will say this, I've been probably for 5 years now, there's two wrestlers that I've been talking about and talk about on this podcast, two wrestlers. One is Chad Gable and the other is Montez Ford. And I've been saying forever, those two guys both deserve an opportunity, and Gable's gotten it to a degree. Montez hasn't. And one thing I will say, maybe defending why Montez hasn't, I've seen interviews where he's kind of put over Dawkins and put over them being in a tag team. But at the same time, I've also seen him talk about being open to the idea. Montez is a star. Like, he's a star. And I think it was 2 years ago at Elimination Chamber where he was in the match. And I thought, okay, here we go, right? Here's his shot. But that's all he did. Then he was right back into a tag team again. So I'm not going to comment on why they didn't address Black History Month, but they definitely have talent that should be getting better opportunities than they're getting. And Montez is one. Now, on the women's side, you know, Bianca Belair's done very well. Now they're pushing Jade and Naomi. But on the men's side, it has been lacking, and it's not for lack of talent.
Certainly so. I agree on all fronts. You did mention you wanted to hit on Jade Cargill a little bit and her big return. Shocking return in the manner in which they did it.
I loved it.
She beelines right at the beginning of the Elimination Chamber match. They haven't even closed the cage door yet. She comes in and she goes right for Naomi. And she incapacitates her. I mean, it was truly a vicious, brutal beatdown. And the crowd was going nuts for this. You said you loved it. What'd you love about it?
I mean, first off, Jade looks like $1 million. Looks like she had new gear on. I loved Liv Morgan standing in the way saying, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And when Jade wound back for that right hand, it almost looked like it was going to go to Liv maybe. But then, like you said, she dodged her, went right at Naomi. Now, this is another one of these moments where people, hindsight being 2020, people are going to start to wonder if they saw something that really wasn't there. So here's my first question for you. Right when Jade's coming out and Naomi's standing there, Naomi turned and looked at Bianca. My first question for you is, in storyline, do you think Bianca was aware of it? Do you think Bianca was in on it? Or do you think Naomi, she didn't mean to, and she just happened to turn and look at Bianca?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think she was just probably looking to Bianca for, like, distress almost.
Or like, here we go, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, Bianca, if I'm not mistaken, she was in the ring when that whole attack segment happened.
No, Bianca was in her pod.
No, I'm saying when the Jade injury angle happened.
Oh, I see.
I'm pretty sure she was in the ring when it happened. So I don't think she would have been implicated in that sense.
Unless she was the final boss on it. Maybe she ordered it.
See, that's some layered storytelling we're going into.
I don't know.
But what I would like, you know, now that Bianca's this number one contender for this women's championship, I want to make sure that we don't just forget about the fact that she's been involved with Naomi and Jade Cargill for the last year. You know, like, this should be something that's weighing on her. This should be on her mind as she's competing for the world title as well. And it should be something that acts as a hurdle for her to have to overcome in the storytelling in her pursuit, because two of her best friends are fighting and she was involved with them thick and thin, but she also has to get her focus on something else. So I hope they lean into that in the storytelling.
Yeah, I mean, I do you think they're going to do Jade Naomi one-on-one at Mania? Or yes. Do they maybe, yeah? So here's the next layer to this whole Bianca thing. Raw this week. Again, I didn't see this coming. We're talking about surprises. Rhea Ripley gets pinned by Io Sky, loses the women's world title. What did you think of that? I'm going to go ahead and just assume that they're going to throw Rhea in, make it a triple threat, because you're not leaving Rhea Ripley off WrestleMania. But what were your thoughts on her getting pinned by Io for the title?
Big endorsement of what they think of Io Sky, that's for sure. I know Paul Levesque's always been big on her, and I think there's no better way to show that than something like that. It's 2 years in a row. Io Sky is going to go into WrestleMania in a big match, presumably. So that's another big endorsement of her. The swerve, I think, was appropriate, because Rhea Ripley, I don't want to say she's been cruising, because she's one of the most popular characters on the TV show, but what has the genesis of her character been? She yells, mommy, she comes in there, she dominates. She's an amazing pro wrestler. And we know this, this loss adds a little bit of well-roundedness to her, because now there's some added motivation for her to unleash something different from her personality and something different from her character.
Did you see her promo that she did after?
Yes. Yes. I do have one criticism of the general WWE booking mentality right now, and it's somewhat related to this. I think this is a very effective storytelling device when it's used in bits and pieces, but when it's used so many times across the card, I think it loses its effectiveness. And that is, they keep telling the story that someone is so obsessed with something that they lose focus. And then it gets the best of them. They've told this story like 7 different times dating back to the summer. It happened like 3 different times on the Elimination Chamber show. And it happens in this Rhea Ripley feud as well, where she got so distracted by Bianca Belair that she took the eye off the prize and it got the best of her. And again, when you use that in increments, I have no issue with that. But when everyone is doing this on this card, I do think that oversaturates it just a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point that you're making. And, you know, we could sit here and talk about missed opportunities. And later on, I want to talk about Otis when it comes to missed opportunities.
Yeah, certainly so.
Rhea Ripley, why did we not get Rhea Ripley against Dominic Mysterio one-on-one? Why didn't we get that? Now, I understand maybe Paul Levesque doesn't like intergender matches.
Yeah.
I generally don't either. Like, I'm generally not a fan of intergender matches. But
if there was a time to do it.
Rhea Ripley's believable in there with Dominic Mysterio. You know what I mean? So yeah. I feel like that was a missed opportunity. I don't know why they didn't do it. It's like she gave him her finisher once, you know, in the ring, whatever, and that was the end of it kind of thing. But yeah, I'm with you that they have been doing the whole obsessed thing. I mean, they're still doing it with McIntyre and Punk. And but at the same time, Rhea losing, it just adds this whole other layer, because I thought it was a no-brainer. It was going to be Rhea Bianca. Rhea's going to pin Io Sky. It's going to be Rhea Bianca, which is a pretty big women's matchup. So I'm curious where they go with this thing.
I really want to see Rhea and Bianca, but if you're going to do a triple threat, it feels like this is about as good of a triple threat that you could come up with as far as the women's division is concerned. So it's going to be a killer match. It's going to be really, really good if that's the path they go, which I think is almost certainly the path they're going to go. And we'll see what comes from that. Again, guys, leave your super chats. We still got about 15 more minutes here on the hump. Meet Norma saying, LL Bros, for those saying TK fumbled Ricky Saints, I'll bring up Swerve and Ricochet. And to your point, Jimmy, he says Montez needs to get out of there or risk just being Bianca's hubby.
He's not going to get out of there. I think he's got a good thing with WWE. They utilize him for a lot of things outside the ring, too. So I think if Montez were to go, and I can't speak for Paul Levesque, but I think if he went to Paul Levesque and said, this is what I want to do, imagine he's going to get an opportunity. And when it comes to Ricky Saints, I look at it like this. There are so many guys under contract to these companies, right? So many guys under contract to these companies. You can't focus on everybody. And so just how Ricochet is getting an opportunity now in AEW that he was never going to get in WWE. He was never going to get this chance in WWE.
Agreed.
Because there were so many guys ahead of him. And Tony Khan, he was kind of new to the company. And Tony's kind of got this reputation where when someone's new, they're like the new shiny toy kind of thing, gave him the opportunity. It's kind of the same with Ricky Starks, where AEW has so much talent, you can't give time to everybody. So Ricky Starks just didn't get it. And now he's the new shiny toy in NXT.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes. You can't devote time to everybody. And so sometimes jumping is going to benefit you.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if Montez left.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And it does go both ways too. Like you said, you know, there's going to be people that will benefit from going to AEW. There'll be people who will benefit from going to WWE or NXT.
Look at Tony. I mean, we can name names all day. Tony Storm was never going to get this chance. Swerve Strickland, maybe because Hunter wanted him back, but he wasn't getting it under Vince. So there's lots of examples where somebody went from one to the other and it benefited them. That's just
I'm not convinced Stephanie Vaquer would have gotten the chance she's gotten in NXT with AEW either. So, you know, it does go both ways. One from Dave again. You'll like this one, Jimmy. He says, Jimmy, as a TKO stakeholder, should I expect an uptick as we approach Mania coupled with Dana White's new boxing endeavor? Are those unrelated? For those of you who may have missed this, TKO is getting into business with the Saudis and launching a new boxing promotion, which is expected to debut next year.
That's on my list today. What do you think about that? What do you think about TKO getting in bed again with the Saudi Arabian government?
You know, I think this has all been mediated at this point. It's all been the term that I grew up with in my research and studies in college was sports washing.
That's right. Yep.
Where you utilize sports to sane wash what may be considered unconventional or illegal or institutional or whatever it may be. And this case, Saudi is a very controversial regime. Not surprised if there is a promotion that has a lot of financial backing, it's obviously going to have more of an opportunity to succeed, but that's not a guarantee. I mean, LIV right now, LIV Golf, which is backed by the Saudis, is doing horrifically against the PGA. So just because you got the money doesn't mean that there's guaranteed success around it, but I can't say I'm surprised, Jimmy.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, do you remember there was a time when the Saudis invested in the UFC and then the UFC bought them out and got the investment back? And everybody was like, oh, that's, you know, the UFC's on the up and up. Well, last year, the UFC just signed a new rights agreement with the Saudi government to return to putting on fights there. We know about WWE's longstanding deal with the Saudis, so doesn't surprise me at all. Is there going to be an appetite for this? Do you think there's an appetite for another boxing promotion? I assume that they're getting in bed with the Saudis because the boxers get paid so much of a guarantee in Saudi Arabia that if you want to track some of the bigger names, maybe they feel like that's what they need to do. But do you think there's an appetite for this?
Well, there's also not a dominant force in boxing right now, promotionally. So there might be real estate for the taking. And that's why they see this as an opportunity to try and get this off the ground. You know, WWE is the major brand in wrestling. UFC is the major brand in MMA. Yep. There is some real estate there for boxing, which is, you know, it was such an institutional sport in the United States and North America for so long, but in the last three decades really has fallen off in that sense. And now we see the biggest boxing matches are exhibition matches, like what happened with the Pauls and Mike Tyson. And
Prize show fights.
And right, exactly, the prize show fights. So I do think that there might be real estate there and interest, but...
I want to address what he said about as a TKO stockholder. So if I was you, I would hold on to it for a bit, because they still have to announce after the end of Q1, which is coming up, they still have to announce WWE's numbers for Q1 because the new television contracts kicked in the end of the year. And so I would hold on because they're going to announce record profits, the biggest they've ever done. And so I imagine that you're going to continue to see an uptick in the stock. And I don't know about the boxing. I guess we'll have to wait and see when the first event happens. But
yeah, it's probably not going to be until mid next year.
It'll be a while. Yeah. But in terms of the TKO stock, I don't know the terms of UFC's deal, but you know WWE is going to show a massive improvement, and so that should benefit the stock. Unless something comes out about Vince McMahon again. Who knows?
They may firmly announce an extension too with Peacock, so we'll have to see what happens there. Jay Polanco, once again, thanks again for the super chat. Says teasing Rhea versus Bianca at Elimination Chamber only to have her drop the title was a miss. Seems like to me they did it for the sake of a surprise. And then he says free or unleash Montez. I don't think they did it for the sake of a surprise, because they were telling you that Io Sky is a contender for that championship. I mean, at the end of that segment with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair at Elimination Chamber, Io Sky's right there in the middle. So it's not like it was just done as a total swerve. They definitely laid something down as a foundation if they wanted to go that route.
I think just as you said that Cody is the benefactor of the Cena heel turn, I think that this was done at least in part to benefit Io Sky, because I think there's no question in terms of the how the fans look at Rhea, look at Bianca, look at Io. They got Rhea, Bianca here, and they got Io here. And so I think this is a way to try to cement that Io is on their level.
Yeah, and I don't disagree at all.
Yeah, and so now she goes in as the champion. Now, here's something interesting. Will she walk out of WrestleMania the champion? Because I think a lot of people just think, oh, she's just a transitional champion. I would love to see her walk out with the title. You know what I mean? Solidify her further.
Yeah, I mean, you give her a win over two people with the equity of Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair.
Right.
That's pretty substantial. Now, Bianca Belair's WrestleMania streak is going to be on the line here. So,
right.
If she doesn't get pinned or doesn't submit, does her streak get docked? I don't know.
If she doesn't win the match, it doesn't count.
Yeah. So.
So now one more surprise, since we're talking surprises. Randy Orton came back at Elimination Chamber. Looked like $1 million again. Guy is yoked. And so presumably he's going to get Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. And my question for you is, where does that leave Sammy?
A lot of people aren't going to like what I'm about to say.
Oh, here we go. We're going to clip this one.
Possible. I think it's very possible Sami Zayn's not on the WrestleMania card.
That'd be a shame.
It would be a shame. With him? I think he...
Commentary or something?
They said he's out indefinitely. He's injured. So I think it's possible for story reason that they keep him off and he's not on WrestleMania. Listen, they held Kevin Owens off WrestleMania 35 when he was supposed to face Kofi and then... Or he was supposed to face Daniel Bryan, rather, and Kofi took his spot. And they held Kevin Owens off that show.
How the heck do you remember? I can't remember 5 years ago now when it comes to... There's so many wrestling shows now.
I mean, Kevin Owens was going to face Daniel Bryan for the title at WrestleMania, and then Kofi Mania happened, and...
Everybody's saying Sami, Karrion Kross, because they've been teasing it.
Well, so they've been teasing that on social media.
AJ too, but it looks like they might do AJ Logan Paul.
I think AJ Logan Paul AJ with Breaker or something of that is much
right,
more likely.
Right, might be Breaker, right. Or maybe I think there's rumors about a multi-man intercontinental title match.
Yeah, listen, Sammy to me is like an all-time great professional wrestler, and he's the Mick Foley of this era. And in terms of how he endears himself as a babyface, so it would be a shame if he's not on this. He could also be injected into the Owens Orton match at the end, for all we know.
Yeah,
as they wanted to do something like that. So,
and you know, I'll tell you something about Sammy, because I know that he still does this. So whenever they run Toronto, and I think Montreal too, he always goes out after the show to take pictures and sign autographs with the people that are waiting. He does it every time they're in Toronto, Montreal, and I can't say enough good things about Sammy Zayn.
Yeah,
you know how many wrestlers on that roster could get in the ring with Johnny Knoxville and his crew and turn it into a hell of a fun match? How many guys could do that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
he's one of the best ever, Jimmy. He's one of the best ever, and I truly believe that. We got a couple more minutes here. We got a few people asking about Revolution. James Stalling saying, is Revolution going to be available on Max this week? So this probably comes on the announcement that Amazon Prime is going to be carrying AEW pay-per-views. I did get some clarification. I spoke to AEW about this. You need an Amazon Prime subscription, and then you also need to purchase the pay-per-view on top of that. So this is just another avenue to purchase the pay-per-view if you want to. It's still going to be on Triller. I don't know what the status is with Max, but I know for a fact that it is still going to be available on Triller and for purchase on Amazon.
Somebody just asked the very question I was just going to ask you. Dave Cost, he said, any discounts? Do you know if on Prime there's going to be a discount?
No discount. No discount on Prime. No discount. It's going to be $49.99. So that's that. And then Vass asking surprise predictions for AEW Revolution. Any debuts?
Debuts, I don't know. Surprises? I'm going to will it into existence, John Alba. I'm going to will it into existence. Adam Copeland beats John Moxley for the title. whether it's a quick turnaround, Christian Cage cashes in, whatever they do. Yep. Adam Copeland beats John Moxley for the title. The Death Riders has to end. I've been, I don't know if you've seen on Twitter that I joked around for a while, Honky Tonk Man, Ultimate Warrior, SummerSlam 88. And I joked around that Tony Khan needs to book John Moxley as the Honky Tonk Man and have somebody go in there and just kick the shit out of him and pin him for the title.
That's basically what he did to CM Punk.
Right. He did do that to CM Punk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the Death Riders isn't working, and Copeland's got to just get it done. Just take the title off.
You know, it's funny. I ended up doing an interview with Cope that's going to drop on Sports Illustrated on Friday. I did a big feature on him, and he just talked about how, like, winning the title is not something that's super important to him at this stage in the career.
He said that,
like,
in a promo, too.
And as a performer, he's just like, you know, for me, I want to do what is asked of me and inject the best amount of storytelling I can into whatever I do. So I think that's what's most important to him. So we'll find out.
A lot of people are saying Josh Alexander.
Josh Alexander would be cool. Maybe with the Callis family, they go with him. Maybe with the Hurt Business, even. Hurt Syndicate.
I don't know if I see that. I mean, if they think they're going to wait on Cedric Alexander with that one, maybe.
I would agree, but I'm just trying to come up with factions. I think the Callis family makes a lot of sense for Josh Alexander. Alexander. man, I'm all
over Alexander.
Alexander, that's the New Yorker in me coming out.
I heard it. Yeah.
So what Dave said, you mentioned this before. Did either of you expect discounted pay-per-views when they signed their new deal? Because he did. It certainly felt like that was going to be the case, but
I think with Max, it goes without saying, because it's owned by Warner Brothers Discovery. So, you know, when the pay-per-views are pumping heavy on Max, they should be discounted. Prime, it's just a distribution deal, like you said. So Amazon gets a cut of it, just like Thriller. Amazon gets a cut of it. They get a cut of it. Doesn't surprise me. That's not discounted. It sucks for the consumer, because you know, Amazon Prime and Netflix, what do these guys cost now? $1,000 every two weeks, like Jesus. Yeah. So you're paying for that, and then you're paying full price for the pay-per-view. But from AEW's perspective, it's just a distribution deal. But Max, for sure, they're going to have some kind of a bundle package or something.
Yeah, so on any idea of a TV deal for AEW with India, I have not heard anything on that front. I'm not sure Sean has either. I do know Sean hasn't heard anything about Max carrying this pay-per-view as well. So
I will tell you one thing about the India deal. When WWE went to Netflix internationally, Sean and I talked about this, and I said, I bet you that AEW now, they're going to have the opportunity to pick up a lot of new outlets because WWE is going to be off of them. And I think that part of the TNA deal, and I think this has been reported, but I think part of the TNA deal is WWE trying to get them some of this television.
Yes.
So AEW can't get it, but TNA is already set up in India.
TNA is, I can tell you this firsthand, TNA is actively looking for a new media rights deal.
Right, for sure.
They are very much trying to land something with more eyes on it. And this crossover with WWE, I know a lot of people have said, you know, what does TNA truly get out of this? It seems like it's more WWE centric. That's the biggest thing that TNA can get out of this.
Oh, just the eyeballs.
Yeah. Well, the eyeballs obviously are one thing, but by having that partnership and being able to say WWE people appear on our television show,
right?
That makes you instantly more appealing to media rights buyers, and we'll see what ends up happening with them, because I know that is issue number one for TNA right now. So we'll see what happens there. Jimmy, anything else you want to add here? It's been really fun, man. I appreciate you letting me hop on with you.
Yeah, we'll do this again. Well, very quickly before we go, because sure. I mentioned it earlier. So do you remember years ago, Triple H did the promo with CM Punk on Raw, talking about if you get over with the crowd,
you'll get everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said to CM Punk, if you get over with the crowd, you'll get everything that you ever wanted out of the business. I posted this on Twitter, and I didn't know it was going to suddenly, it's done over like 50,000 views. Otis has been over for years. The guy always gets a reaction. He's always one of the most popular guys with a live crowd, and yet he's anchored to a group that loses every single week.
Yep.
And so here's my question for you, and I know we got to go, but I'll just ask you quick. Some people on Twitter agreed with me and said Otis is over. They should do more with him. Some people said, well, he gets television every week. Not everybody does. Not everybody can be a top guy. So what are your thoughts? Do you think, he's presented well. Yes, he loses all the time, but he's presented well. Or do you look at it like, they could be doing more with him?
Look, I don't think Otis is ever going to be a main eventer in WWE, but getting more TV time, being presented in a favorable light, I think that's always something that any talent can get more of. And the comparison I'll draw it to is Too Cool in the Attitude Era, where Too Cool were never presented as top guys. They barely held the tag titles. I don't think they held them that many times, but they were so ridiculously over. They were one of the most over acts on the entire show, as over as many of the main eventers. Mm-hmm. And they were just portrayed consistently in a positive light. And that's something I would hope for Otis at the end of the day.
I look at him like a modern day Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Okay.
And Jim Duggan never won a title in WWE, but he didn't lose every week either. Like, they kept him strong. And I agree with you. You're not going to see Otis headline WrestleMania for the WWE title, but I could see him going for the Intercontinental title. I could see there being momentum behind that from a fan perspective. It's just a shame to me that when he's out there, he's going to get the reaction, and I know he's going to lose. And some people tried to defend his booking saying, oh, he was just in the ring for 10 minutes with the world champion. That's cool, but I knew when the bell rang, he was going to lose. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see them do more with him because he is over. Not everybody gets the reaction he gets. And he's anchored to this group that loses all the time. I'd like to see them change it up.
He certainly is. I'd like to see them change it up as well. This has been really fantastic. Jimmy, anything you want to throw out there as we wrap?
No, that's it. Enjoy the rest of your week. And good to see everybody. And we'll be back with Sean next week.
Absolutely. Best wishes to Sean. Jimmy, thanks so much for letting me hop on. And thank you guys so much for tuning in to The Hump right here on Fightful. And check out, of course, FightfulSelect.com as well. Have a good one, guys.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.